Well, our sermon today in our continuing series through Ephesians finds it at the portion dealing with marriage and then on into family life. This whole area is of great concern today in the Christian community. All you have to do is just note how many ministries have started up and have put that name family somewhere in their title. There's great concern because it's a needy area. Marriage and the family are under attack and not doing too well against that attack. What saddens me is that many, including some ministries with the name family in them, don't realize what is necessary to establish strong marriages, strong families, and to maintain them. Many of those ministries perhaps neglect the one thing that can cement a marriage and make a family solid, and that is the Word of God. Instead, often the focus is put on complaining about our culture, our society, our government. The answer to a strong Christian marriage and thus a strong Christian family is not going to be found in the arena of politics nor in fighting a cultural battle. The answer is in the Word of God. Thousands of years ago, God wrote this, Deuteronomy 6. As His people were about to come into the promised land and start their families there for the first time, not under slavery, God writes this. Moses is speaking here. These are the commandments, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now listen to verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. And he's addressing the parents here, first of all. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7 adds this. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's God's recipe for a solid family. Putting the Word of God first and foremost in your hearts. And then it says, impress them on your children. And it doesn't just say, read from the Scriptures to your children. That's great. But what's said here is that you talk about the commandments, the Word of God. And you talk about them at all times, when you're sitting, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. That means the Word of God must be dwelling richly in your lives, parents. And it gets conveyed the way God intended, through your very lives, into the lives of your children. So that you, your children, and your children after you will be blessed by God in their lives. Well, in Ephesians, we come to chapter 5. Verses 22 to 24. And this is the section that is going to start to talk about marriage and then on into family life. If you pull out your handouts, you'll find that the appropriate verses are included right there in the handout. So please follow along. The title is Beautiful Submission. The verses we're about to read would offend many in our culture today. And yet, God would present this picture as a picture of beautiful submission. And those who strive to obey these commandments, those who walk in loving obedience to these commandments, will testify that they do bring about a joyous, harmonious union of husband and wife and a blessing to the family. We have three verses. Verse 22, the exhortation. Clear, simple command, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Second verse, the example, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. And finally, the extent of beautiful submission, verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, I have to tell you, there's not a lot here for me to explain. The statements are very clear. The exhortation is as clear as could be. The example is plain, and the extent leaves no room for doubt or questioning. But I would like you to understand these truths, and I would like to talk about some considerations involved in each one of them. First of all, as we turn to the exhortation, verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Please understand what's gone before this in this glorious epistle to the Ephesians. Unless you're saved, this epistle is written to the saints in Christ. Unless you're saved, a new creation in Christ, unless you take hold of all the spiritual blessings you have in Christ, you're going to find that this is an impossible commandment. Last week, we talked about the verses preceding this section in Ephesians 5. We talked about being Spirit-filled. Keep on being kept filled with the Spirit. And the key was being Scripture-filled and Spirit-filled and song-filled and satisfaction-filled, always giving thanks to God. If those things aren't at work in your life, you're not going to be able to walk in obedience to these commands. Now, the word submit, again, it seems to be a harsh word to many people in our culture, but it's a beautiful word. In the Greek text, it's the word hupotasso, a compound word. Hupo means under, and tasso means proper arrangement. Quite simply, God is calling wives to make sure they're always under proper arrangement to their husband. The God who created man, woman, who created the institution of marriage, who desires to bless us through that gracious, wonderful institution of marriage, says, wives, make sure you're under proper arrangement to your husband. Now, we're going to see in the next section of Ephesians that we look at that husbands are said to be the head of the wife, the head of the marriage. That makes this commandment very unusual. There are three major sections in the New Testament where God is going to speak to husbands and wives concerning marriage. It happens here in Ephesians 5, it happens in Colossians 3, and it happens in 1 Peter 3. And the striking thing about all three passages is that they begin exactly the same way, a clear, simple command, wives, submit to your husbands. Now that's odd because the husband's the head, and you would assume that God would address the head first. And I find this very odd. Why does he start here with wives? Shouldn't he address the head and then work on down? Bit of conjecture here, but let me propose a couple thoughts for your consideration. I believe he starts this way. In every example, speaking of marriage in the New Testament, he starts with this clear, simple command because it is crucial. It has top priority. Now, when you look at the full passage in each of those three settings, you'll see that the husband and wife are to mesh beautifully, wonderfully, the way God intended them to mesh in marriage. And I always picture the wife as sort of one gear and the husband as another, and as they do what they're commanded to do, it just meshes beautifully in a marriage arrangement, resulting in joy and blessing. And I would tell you that God puts this commandment first because if the wife is not going to be under proper arrangement to her husband, it puts a monkey wrench in the gears. Really doesn't matter what the husband's like if the wife is not going to be under proper arrangement to him. The gears just grind to a halt right then and there, and you're in for a lot of exciting times in that marriage. So I would propose to you that God puts this first, three times so that we would heed it. And I've got to jump in right here at this time, too, because man, it's going to be hard to resist. No elbowing, first of all, at all during the sermon. And men, you have to understand, this is written to the wives. One pastor said, don't read the wife's mail. This isn't written to you, husbands. It's to the wives. And the other thing is, husbands, resist the temptation in the days ahead to refer to this passage lovingly as a reminder to your spouse. Remember, wives submit to... No, don't do that. First of all, I truly believe that if you do that, you make true submission impossible. If the husband sort of puts the wife's arm behind her back, come on, remember it says submit, you're actually defeating the purpose. This is a commandment to the wives, and true submission must be of her own free will. So resist, husbands. You'll defeat the very point of this whole verse, this whole passage. Secondly, why does God address women first instead of the head? Why does he put this first? I think it's of utmost importance. And I think, secondly, he honors women by so doing. I believe God thinks you wives are going to listen to him. And in essence, he's given you a position of honor here. He starts the gears meshing with this commandment to you. Truth be told, in most relationships, perhaps it is the wife who is more in tune with what's going on. The wife who's more committed to the relationship and seeing how it should go. Now, that's not the way the scriptures portray it, but it just might be the way it is. And perhaps God, knowing a woman's nature, is appealing to her and putting her in this position, saying, here, wife, start out this way. If you look at the text, it says simply, wives. No exceptions, no loopholes, no mitigating circumstances are proposed. It's wives, all wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, be under beautiful, proper arrangement to your husbands the way the Lord intended it to be. Now, some will look back at verse 21, where it says, submit to one another, and they'll say, we should be in mutual submission. That doesn't understand the text. Verse 21 is a topic sentence that speaks of submitting to every authority God has instituted, and the rest of chapter 5 and on into chapter 6 of Ephesians is going to give a list of various areas where submitting to one another is called for. But it is not saying there's mutual submission between husband and wife. Now, there's a give and take and a beautiful meshing of the gears. Make no mistake about that. But it is not the wife will submit to the husband, be under proper arrangement to him, and then other times the husband will submit to the wife, and we'll take turns, and I'll do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you'll do it Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday we'll just fight. No. So verse 21 isn't talking about mutual flip-flop submission. It's talking about in all the areas coming up, here's a topic sentence, in each area where there's an authority God has instituted, be under submission. Every one of you be under submission to the authorities. And then it starts out, wives to husbands. It's going to move on, children to your parents. And it's going to move on, employees to your employers. Now, I've had somebody send me a book about marriage, and I don't know why my wife did it. No. She knew that was coming. She knew that was coming. But it spoke of marriage personalities. And it was a psychologist, a Christian supposedly, and it was going into all the different kinds of arrangements in a marriage, and if the wife is this personality and the husband this type and BC and D minus type and whatever. I see none of that in Scripture. Now, I have no doubt that psychologists studying sinful populations can see a lot of trends and so forth. And maybe we'd be wise to be alerted to some possible trends that our marriage could fall into. But the text here speaks of wives, plain and simple. No different personality types, no different possibilities and arrangements, but this is the way God intends marriages to start meshing. Wives, be in submission. And then note the text. It says, to your husband. To your very own husband. In several passages in the New Testament where God gives commandments to wives, he emphasizes your husband. And that's because that's the person, that's the loving husband God gave you. Take a good look at him and praise the Lord. That's the arrangement God has. It's your husband. And then, please, please note how the text ends. Wives, submit, be under beautiful, proper arrangement to your husband as to the Lord. You can't look too closely at that husband because he's going to be a sinner. And he's going to be fallible in many ways. And yet, even when he's fallible, this text would call you to submit. And we'll talk later on about when you wouldn't submit. But it would call you to submit as unto the Lord. And please keep in mind, this is not proposing sort of a line item veto. Item by item, something's put forth and the wife sits there and says, Okay, I can submit. And then something else comes up. Okay, I can submit. And then something else comes up. No, line item veto, I can't submit. This is speaking instead of an arrangement. Be under proper arrangement. And it's something that you freely, willingly do as unto the Lord, knowing that you walk by faith, faith in His Word, not always by sight, definitely not in sight by looking at that husband too closely, but that this is what will start off a beautiful meshing in the marriage or relationship that God will be able to bless. Now, some have dismissed this whole section. They've torn that page from the New Testament. And you can go into the Christian bookstore and find books to that effect, written by supposedly Christian authors. What they say is, well, this was written by Paul in the first century to those saints at Ephesus, a peculiar culture, a male-dominated culture. And with this passage and many others, they say the Bible is sexist and is sort of culturally dependent. But now, because our culture has made great gains and we have evolved and there's equality, this no longer applies. That is a terrible, devious handling of Scripture. Scripture is God's eternal, perfect Word. It is not culturally determined nor bound. It is His eternal Word. It is the Word from the Creator who made male and female, who made marriage as the crowning achievement in the creation week, telling you how He created you to be. Just an example to show you that God's Word is not sexist nor culturally bound. Just listen. 1 Corinthians 7. Commandments to the church at Corinth, a very pagan church, clear culture of the day. It says, verse 3, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. And then verse 4 says this, in the first century, this is what it says, the wife's body does not belong to her, but rather to the husband. Sure, that's first century. But the rest of the verse says this, in the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him, but to the wife. Don't you dare tell me God's Word is sexist or culturally bound in its statements. That flies in the face of all cultural norms of the first century. But it is God's eternal truth concerning a husband and wife and their relationship. So let's have no nonsense where some would toss this out saying it has reference back to the first century. This is God's eternal Word. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And as you're submitting as to the Lord, please understand what the Lord is going to call the husband to do. And it gives you an understanding, too, of what submission is, being in proper arrangement. It doesn't refer to being a doormat. It doesn't refer to having no opinions and no input and no communication. No. Now, that's the way it was in the first century. It was a male-dominated culture. The husband had total say-so over life and death issues with his wife and all his family. To hear the commandments in the New Testament given to husbands in view of that culture is astonishing. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, be considerate as of your wives. Honor them, esteem them. That was unheard of in the Roman Empire. But it gives you an idea of what submission is all about. Being under proper arrangement to the husband doesn't mean that he isn't going to ever listen to you or consider you. It means you have full input. And a husband and wife are to communicate and to be wonderfully bonded together. And you sort of set up a situation where the husband, in Ephesians 5 later on, is going to be told to give himself up for the wife. So submission is a beautiful picture in God's Word. And it starts with that clear, simple exhortation. Warning, after God created husband and wife and marriage at the end of Genesis chapter 2, sin entered the scene in Genesis chapter 3. And in verse 16 of Genesis, the consequences concerning women and sin are listed. And it says, your pains and sorrows in this fallen world are going to increase. And then it says, especially in childbearing, you'll notice it. But then it goes on to make this statement concerning the consequence of this fallen world on women particularly. It says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That word desire doesn't refer to sexual desire. It's a rare word in the Hebrew, and it's used only one other place in the Old Testament, in the very next chapter of Genesis. It's a warning. Your desire is going to be for your husband, but he's going to rule over you. That word desire is used in the next chapter, and it's used in conjunction with God speaking to Cain. Cain offered an unacceptable sacrifice. And the Lord says, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast, Cain? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right," here it comes, "sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you." Going back to Genesis 3, women, just as you need to get prepared for having great pain in childbearing, and the sorrows of this world are going to hit you because of the fallen nature of the world, so too, be on guard, because you're going to have a desire. That sin that was crouching, desired to dominate, to take over Cain. You're going to have a desire in this fallen world to step out of God's proper arrangement. And the rest of that text says, "And he, your husband, will rule over you." And it's a very heavy-handed view, and it portrays what we've seen through the centuries, the battle of the sexes. So be alerted to that. And with that in mind, wives, always submit. Be under proper arrangement to your husband. Then comes the example. Verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." An example is just clearly, this is the way God has established it. And Christ is the head of our church, and we all try to follow and obey him. So too, the husband is said to be the head of the wife in that same arrangement. Now, what's interesting to note is that as the wife is called to submit, to be in that proper arrangement, so too, Christ is said to submit also. 1 Corinthians 11:3. "Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Jesus Christ is in submission to God the Father. Does that make Jesus Christ of no worth? Does that make him a lesser deity? And the answer is absolutely not. He's God, fully God, totally God. And yet, he's in that arrangement, even within the Trinity, that God has established across his creation. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of the end. "The end will come when he," Jesus, "hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he's destroyed all dominion, authority, and power." And then it says, "When he has done this, the Son himself will be made subject to him," God the Father. And the word "subject" there is hupotasso. For all eternity, Christ is in this beautiful arrangement to God the Father. There is nothing demeaning, and the example is clear, and the example is beautiful. With this example, I'd like to just talk about two considerations. The wife is to be under proper arrangement to the husband, who is the head, just like Christ is the head of the church. Well, if you look at the New Testament, the commandments of Christ, the word of Christ, concerning his church, there's very few commandments, really. There's commandments concerning the structure of the church with elder leadership, and there's deacons, and there's qualifications given for those men. And then after that, it's quite open. And the Lord has, in essence, delegated a lot of responsibility to us who serve in the church. Now, Christ is the head, but he doesn't micromanage. There's no commandment to what color the carpet should be, for example. And as we strive to live out those things, the truth is that Christ has delegated, you know, some decisions and actions to us, still trying to, you know, obey him and not go against his word in any way. But that's the picture we're presented with, and I would propose the same works out in a marriage. The husband doesn't micromanage and decide every issue and so forth. A wise husband will delegate. And in many regards, the wife's opinion and input, it would be wise to follow that. Secondly, verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church's body," and then it says, "of which he is the Savior." And that's going to lead us into a discussion for husbands when we get to that next section. But the point is, you're submitting not to someone who's lording over you. Christ didn't come to lord over us. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our provider, our sustainer. And the idea is that that's the picture in marriage too. You're under proper arrangement. There's no micromanagement going on. There is some delegation and freedom within that arrangement. And that arrangement is to be to the one who is, as Christ is the Savior of the church, the husband is the one who provides and gives himself up for the wife. And that's what we're going to read in the next text. Again, it's a beautiful picture. With that, we move on to the third verse, 24, the extent of perfect submission. "Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. You can study the Greek word all you want. It means in everything. Now, immediately some objections come to mind. Wait a minute, we don't always submit. Yes, there's one New Testament example where, in a case where submission should have been, it wasn't. And that's Acts chapter 5. The setting was Jesus, resurrected Jesus, told the disciples to go everywhere, preach the gospel in his name. The Sanhedrin arrested those disciples and said, don't dare mention the name of Jesus again. The Sanhedrin was the authority over the Jewish nation at that time. We are to submit to governing authorities. The disciples had a commandment from the Lord, clear, direct, and now they receive this from the Sanhedrin. And their reply is, we must obey God rather than man. If in submitting under proper arrangement to a husband, he would ask you, he would tell you to disobey a commandment of God, that's where you draw the line. But that's the only exception. Many draw the line one or two steps removed from that, and many draw the line because they give way to fear. If I truly submit in this issue at this time to that husband, it'll end disastrously. 1 Peter 3, speaking again of submission, says, you are Sarah's daughters, Sarah who submitted to Abraham, if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. And remind yourselves, wives, that we walk by faith, not by sight, and we trust God at his word. But if that's still tough, and there comes those times where you find it hard to stay under proper arrangements, submitting to your husband and everything, I leave you with this last picture, which I think you'll find quite helpful and probably have to use a lot in the days ahead. I heard a pastor once say that if the wife will walk by faith, not by sight, will truly submit as unto the Lord in everything, it is as if she is ducking so that God can get a clear shot at that husband. I hope you find comfort in that. I think it is very true to this message. God says submit. The exhortation is clear. No doubt, no exceptions. The example is clear. The extent is hard to live up to, but it's in everything. But understand, God wants more joy in your marriage than you can even imagine. The Heavenly Father who created you, the Lord who died for you, give you these commandments, give you this picture, this arrangement, and then declare, do not give way to fear, and walk by faith, not by sight. And when it gets tough, don't look at that husband. Submit as unto the Lord. And think of the church submitting to Christ. And in everything, duck. And maybe God can get a good shot at that husband if that's what's needed. This call to submission for the wives is what starts the gears meshing. I'm convinced of it. And as we read about the husband being called to be loving, sacrificial, giving himself up, and being considerate and respectful, we see the gears meshing. But this is what starts it. In the Christian school, I would teach Bible. And from time to time, a couple of students would come to me, and they'd have a complaint and an argument. Well, he did this, and they slammed my locker. Well, you slammed mine the other day. And I, with the wisdom of Solomon, would say, why don't you two go out in the hall, and whoever is more Christ-like, forgive the other one. Well, we're going to see what husbands are going to be called to doing in a while. Loving, giving themselves up, considerate, respectful. We've seen what wives have been called to do. Whoever is the more Christ-like, when situations get tense, when there's a challenge, husbands, maybe it's a warning sign for you to be more considerate of your wives. Give yourself up more. Wives, maybe it's a warning that you need to watch out, that you haven't given way to that sinful desire in this fallen creation to dominate, to move out of the proper arrangement. Maybe it's a call to more submission.
Well, let me conclude simply by saying it is as we live in loving obedience to these commandments in God's word that our marriages will be strong and joyous and blessed, and so will our families.